This is On the Couch, your connection to the world of mental health. Exploring all things related to daily living. Your hosts, Benny Massey, LPCC, and Earl J. Bell, LCSW.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to On the Couch. I am Earl Bell.
And I'm Benny Massey, and you're on the couch.
Today, we're going to discuss a subject and a disorder that not a lot of talk is given to. I think there's a lot of misconceptions surrounding this, and that's why we've chosen Munchausen syndrome by proxy.
Munchausen syndrome by proxy is when a parent or a caregiver actually exacerbates the symptoms of their child to because they believe and they feel that their child is sick or ill and need medical treatment.
And also, I think it's important to, from the start, differentiate between Munchausen syndrome by proxy and Munchausen syndrome. I think one thing to be aware of is that Munchausen syndrome is where the person pretends to be ill or cause injuries to themselves, where by proxy means a different person, another person. So that's where the, you know, illnesses and the abuse comes in as well toward other people. So Benny, let's start off with how common is Munchausen by proxy?
It's really difficult to quantify that number, I would say. I personally have not treated anyone with Munchausen syndrome by proxy, or for that matter, even Munchausen syndrome. However, I do treat a lot of clients with somatic syndrome disorders, or those who feel that they're ill or sick, even when they're just fighting maybe something pretty common and regular, they feel that it is worse than it really is.
I think one thing also why it's really difficult, as you say, to estimate how widespread Munchausen is, many cases can go unreported or undetected. You know, I think that the educational system, as far as therapists, hopefully has shown much improvement, and the clinicians coming out today are hopefully aware of it and know what to look for a little bit better. So, yeah. And also, what's the average age group that, you know, you see Munchausen's affecting?
I would think it's children under five. So children who have not developed those interpersonal skills where they can communicate and maybe not know actually what's going on or how severe the illness is. So it's almost a manipulation, I would say.
And I think one thing to be aware of as well is this is mostly an illness projected onto the child by the mother. 90% of the time, the mother of the child is the one who is responsible for the abuse. However, there are some cases where the father, foster parent, grandparent, guardian, or even a healthcare provider or child care provider is responsible for the Munchausen's. So, yeah.
Okay. So, caretakers are also susceptible to inflicting that syndrome on their loved ones or those they care for. And you all need to know that as well.
Yeah, I think some of the signs to watch for, because Munchausen covers a wide range of different symptoms and behaviors involving the parents who are seeking the health care for a child. It can be something ranging from extreme neglect to an induced illness. So I think one of the behaviors that a mother can inflict upon their child is they can actually just continually try to persuade the health caregiver that the child is ill, even though the child is perfectly healthy.
They can exaggerate or lie about the child's symptoms. And genuinely, they believe that the child is sick or sicker. And so they don't buy into the doctor's prognosis or prescription, or so they are quick to denounce or try to influence that there's something more wrong. And I don't think you're picking the whole picture up. You're not looking in depth.
And I think one thing that has been found to happen quite a bit among some of the parents and caregivers is they can also manipulate, you know, the different test results. Like if you're a mother and you're taking your child to the doctor for their physical and checkup, then you have your urine sample there that you're taking in. Sometimes you can put like glucose in the urine sample. And that way, when the doctor runs the sample, it can come back as the child having diabetes or as the child is actually healthy.
And it can go as far as even, I've seen research and studies where the caretaker or the parent will inflict pain or possibly even hurt the child to get the result that they predict it to be. For example, breaking a leg or breaking an arm if a child falls, not telling about the fall, but trying to exacerbate maybe weak bones or things to that nature.
I think when you start talking about Munchausen, it's kind of difficult to find out why or how, well, not how, but mostly why does this illness occur? And, you know, I think some of the reasons, although they're not totally understood, is it could be that the mother enjoys the attention of playing the role of a caring mother. Because I think one thing that sometimes a parent will need is that validation from an outsider that they're doing a great job being mother figure. So, yeah.
And the research shows that a large number of mothers who exhibit this with their children are diagnosed with what we call borderline personality disorder. Borderline personality disorder is an instability that the person goes through. It's a personality disorder, and it's an impulsiveness and disturbed type of thinking.
Yeah, and you know, I think some of them, the mothers, and you mentioned this a few minutes ago, some of the mothers could have somatoform disorders, you know, where they have multiple recurrent physical symptoms. And some of those mothers who have those symptoms can also exhibit Munchausen syndrome as well.
And if you intertwine that a lot of these individuals have alcohol and drug abuse or addictions, it exacerbates the possibility of them increasingly worrying about the child and feeling that the symptoms are truly real.
Yeah. Okay, and I do want to say we've got a clip now we're going to play to explain Munchausen's, and we will, well, I think we're going to play it if we can get it to work.
Oh, get it to work, girl.
Nothing like live radio.
Nothing like it.
We'll keep working on that, but I want to let you know we are also taking callers now. You can call in at 917-889-3093. When you call in, you will be placed on hold for a brief moment, and at that time, you can listen to our broadcast continuing on the telephone. So, well, Vinny, we're struggling a little bit with the video.
Well, we look forward to taking your calls, and we encourage you to call in if you have any questions or if you know any individuals that might be experiencing something, just to share so that we can further discuss or maybe direct on how you can get the help or help your loved one get the help that they need.
Yeah, and, you know, that's something we can talk about as well. What do you do if you happen to be, you know, a child care provider, like at a daycare or a nursery, and one of the children there you suspect may be, you know, suffering this from the hands of their mother? What can you do if you're a nursery worker or a teacher?
I know as a mental health professional, we are urged or we are forced by law to report. And I would encourage anyone who believes this might be going on, even if you think it might be going on, there are resources in the community that you can contact that will do a thorough investigation to look into the situation and further find if this is valid or not. And you don't have to feel guilty or feel pressured, because if you can call in anonymously, you don't have to say your name. The number that we have listed here is 1-808-800-5000, and that is the NSPCC's Child Protection Helpline. Again, that number is 808-800-5000. It's open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
But we also want to encourage you that whatever state you reside in, be sure and find out what the number is. And if nothing else, just call the police and they will direct you as to how to make that report. So, yeah, moving on. What else can you do if you do suspect something like this is going on, besides just reporting it to the police or, you know, something like that?
I would just, if I knew the family that I was concerned about, I would probably try to engage and make sure that things were okay. Reporting is fine. This might, however, involve removing the child from the care of the person. And you might not feel comfortable in doing that, which I understand, but we are looking out for the best interest of the child. And that's what we have to keep first and foremost in our minds.
And I think one thing also to be aware of, if you're a caregiver or nursery care worker or even a therapist, understand that older children, particularly those who have been abused for several years, will have, you know, more complex problems. You know, they may need some help and support to develop, you know, a more realistic understanding of their health. They may really believe that they are ill since the parent, the mother, has, you know, convinced them of this.
That kind of pulls me back to a program that I've been watching. Actually, it's on Hulu, and I'm sure maybe some of you have watched it, but if you haven't, it is on Hulu, and it's called The Act. And in the show, there's a young lady, and she is about 18 years old, but her mother has successfully convinced her that she has a myriad of illnesses and that she is truly sick and ill. And she finally figures it out, but she always questions, is this true? Because she trusts and loves her mother. And her mother, I believe, genuinely trusts and loved her. She had mental illness, and she was able to convince her daughter of this. So in that show, yes, the teenager did truly believe that she was mentally ill, or she had an illness.
One thing I want to say is, basically, you know, as we wind down this show, that it's important to make sure, first of all, that the child is safe, and then you can treat the caretaker's underlying psychological problems through therapy and family therapy. So,
And one thing that I want to say is, just so you all know, we are still on the couch and we're still learning this podcast and trying to figure things out. But tonight our show will be shorter. We are working on it, and we want you all to stay with us. We encourage you all to call in, and we will have guests to come in the future.
Yeah, and thank you so much for listening. And this has been On the Couch, and we will be back next Monday at 8 p.m. So please tune in and give us a listen. And also, good mental health to you. Take care.
Take care.
We have 10 seconds left, so enjoy the rest of your time. And look for us wherever podcasts are located, iTunes or Stitcher. We will be there. So take care.
Take care.
Let's just do that.